Amen. Verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. God's plan is you to be enriched in everything, all peace, all joy. He wants to bless you beyond your wildest imagination, that you can be effective for him on this planet. And I want to speak to you today about one of the most important principles that we understand in the Word of God, because the Word of God says that Moses knew God's ways and the people of Israel only knew God's works. So God wants us to not only know the history of God, which many people know the history of God, we want to know the prince, but we also want to know his principles. So one of the most important principles to understand is the principle of sowing and reaping. And all of your life is going to be a season of either seed time or harvest. That's it. Seed time or harvest. And it's very important we understand that, because this is a kind of a universal principle. People in other kind of religions, they call this karma. But what they're referring to, they've understood a part of the Word of God, that there are basically actions and consequences. God has sown that into the fabric of his creation. For every consequence, for every action, there is a consequence. And so that means that your life today, where you are today, is not because of bad luck. It's because of what you or others have sown into your life. And if you're a parent and you have a critical spirit and you keep saying to your child, you're good for nothing, you will reap a child with low self-esteem. Because for every action, God says there is a consequence. That's what the principle of sowing, reaping is all about. And the reason that we have every spiritual blessing of great peace and great joy in the Holy Spirit today is only because of one reason, that Christ himself became a kernel of wheat and fell to the ground and sowed his life in obedience to the Father. And the consequence is that we are reaping the spiritual blessings of his obedience. If you have a look at Genesis 8:22, if you turn to Genesis 8:22, this is what God said to Noah after the flood. And he said, everything else has been wiped out. This is after Noah got off his ark and he made a sacrifice of praise. It's a wonderful passage. And he built an altar and made a sacrifice of praise because God had kept him. While everyone else has been destroyed, God had kept him. And it says his praise, and praise always is, it was an offering, a fragrant offering to God. It said, God, receive that. It said, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then God responded with these words, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. So that means cold and heat. The principle of seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping, is going to be in play. Once you're in heaven, no longer the case. But while you're on earth, you must understand the principles of sowing and reaping. We must, and you see this, it's critical for nations, it's critical for individuals, it's critical for families, and it's critical for churches that we understand this. Nationally, it actually says in the scriptures that nations reap the consequences of wickedness with destructions. It says that a nation that sows righteousness reaps a sure reward, but one who sows wickedness will reap trouble. So the decisions and the actions of governments determine what sort of nation Australia is going to become. And it's true nationally, it's true individually, and it's true in every aspect of life, in every kind of, in every place you observe, you will see the principle of actions and consequences. And the scriptures say, right back in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the earth, he created the earth, and it said that in chapter 1, verses 12 of Genesis, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself. So the fruit yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself. That means things yield according to its kind, because the seed is in it. So you sow and you reap in kind. If you sow cucumbers, you don't reap peaches. You reap in kind to what you sow. Verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6, or verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will also reap of the flesh, reaping corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That principle of when somebody sows to the flesh, when somebody sows according to the lust of the flesh, this scripture is speaking about. When somebody sows, not according to what the Holy Spirit always wants you to sow righteousness. He always wants you to sow love. He always wants you to sow money into others, giving. He always wants you to sow kindness. That's what the Holy Spirit will always. But when you actually sow to the flesh, that is something selfish, that is something of the flesh, something maybe something to do with lust or something of the flesh, there's always consequences. This is the negative aspect, because you reap in kind to what you sow. You can't sow according to the flesh and reap good things in the Spirit. You must sow according to the Spirit to reap the good things of God. And you see this negatively in so many places in Scripture. You see negatively people who have sown to the flesh, and oh my goodness, you sort of cringe when you see the consequences afterwards. Many, many times in the Scriptures. Right back in Genesis, you see, this is in Genesis chapter 29. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, fulfillment time, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. When it come to pass in the evening, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her into Jacob, and he went into her. And it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I serve you? Why then have you deceived me? And a little while later, he's working for the same man who deceives him with his daughter in marriage by giving him the wrong one. And then Jacob says, later, when he's speaking to Laban and he's reflecting on his time with Laban, he says, your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. So you see, you sow in kind and you reap in kind, but the sad thing is you don't reap in proportion to what you sow. You reap multiples of what you sow, 30, 60, or 100-fold. And when you sow to the flesh, when you're sowing the flesh, you know, some people think, and they con themselves, and we can be living in deliberate sin. We can have a willful, deliberate sin, and we can con ourselves that nobody sees, there's going to be no consequence. This is what the devil does. But if that's you, you're like somebody, I'm telling you, there is a raging fire about to break out, and all you're going to have is a water pistol. Because the consequences are of God. They're built into the fabric of the cosmos. You see it, the same principle when David was a tremendous king, and David was a man, he's known in the scriptures, a man after God's own heart. And he loved God, and he was a very good king, but he did have a weakness. All through his life, he had a lust issue, and he refused to crucify his flesh. And this time that he sowed to the flesh with a young lady called Bathsheba. And he saw her one night, and he thought, she's very, very good. And because he hadn't crucified his lust, one thing led to another. And there is a grace to crucify your lust, but he didn't do it. One thing led to another. Holy Spirit kept telling him, deal with this thing, but he wouldn't. One thing led to another. And then one day, when he was at ease in Zion, when he was not where he was supposed to be, fighting the battle, but David pulled back from that place, and it says he got at ease in Zion. And when you're at ease in Zion, always bad things will happen. He looked over the valley, and he just looked into someone's backyard, and there was a girl taking a shower in a place maybe she shouldn't have been. And he looks over, and before you know it, he calls for her, and she comes up, and one thing leads to another, and before you know, she's pregnant. And David, who's a good man, he's a righteous man, in the moment of weakness, he does that, and then he panics. And then he has Bathsheba's husband killed. And so this is something he did, which was according to his flesh. And in 2 Samuel, I want to tell you what happened as a result of that, just so you understand the principles, the unchanging principles of sowing and reaping. Nathan, a prophet, comes and confronts him and confronts him with his sin. And he says this in verse 9 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 12, he says this, because you have despised the commandment of the Lord, you have killed Uriah the Hittite. Did three things. You killed him, you took his wife. And he said, this is what's going to happen. Verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house. You killed one man, the sword will never depart from your house. You took the wife of one man, behold, I'll raise up adversity against you. Look at that in verse 11. I will take your wives, multiple. And this thing you did in secret, he says, I'm going to humiliate you. I'll do this thing before all of Israel. And that's what happened. The sword, David forever had problems between his children. You know, the children were killing each other in his own household. And when Absalom rebelled against him, by this time David had many wives, and Absalom took them all and defiled them all. And he did it in public where everybody could see. So what David sowed to the flesh, the small things he sowed to the flesh, he reaped awfully. But on the positive side, it actually says something wonderful about David, because he was a good king overall. And in 1 Kings 15, it says, because of David's righteousness and because he loved me and he served me right, his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him by establishing Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything except between the issue of Uriah the Hittite. So basically it says, because of David's righteous life, because of his commitment to God and his righteousness, and he sowed righteousness, generally speaking, in his all his life. God said, because of that, I'll always make sure there's a light in Israel. Even when there's dark times, I'll always remember David's righteousness, and I'll be bringing righteous kings along even when there's bad ones, because of one man's righteous life. Because he sowed his life in righteousness, there were generations of blessings that came from his righteousness that followed him. And that is true for you today. You sow a righteous life, you can impact your generations, your children and your children's children, because of the commitment and the righteousness that you have to God today. So when we sow, we reap according to the kind of what we sow. We reap disproportionately to what we sow. Disproportionately. So you sow a little of something, you're going to reap, the Bible says, 30, 60, or 100-fold down the track. 30, 60, 100-fold. And I want to tell you, some people, this is what I want to tell you. You cannot reap without sowing. And I've seen many people over the years, this is in the financial area. They don't want to give, they don't want to tithe. And they have issue after issue after issue in their life. And I say, you cannot get out of that cycle. You cannot get out of that place unless there's been something sown. And if you're someone who has no friends, I want to tell you, I knew a woman once. She had no friends and she was lonely and she was continuing lonely. I said, I'll tell you what you do. Go to the hospital where there's nobody and find people that are lonely and no one's visiting and be a friend to somebody. And I saw that person about 5 years later and they said, my life is inundated with love and kindness and I got more friends than you know what to do with. So you cannot reap the blessings of God unless you are sowing something. Unless you're sowing something. But I want to encourage you, what you have sown, you're going to reap. God, the Bible says, God is not mocked. When you sow something, you sow good seed. When you sow good seed, you will reap. Now, I want to qualify this because there's some sort of teaching that tries to manipulate money out of people in the church and it portrays God as though he's a slot machine, you're a poker machine, that if you put money in, you're going to get it back tomorrow. God's not like that. It's not about money. There is often a season, it can be a long season, between promise and fulfillment. So you do something, you sow money into the kingdom of God, you sow love into the kingdom of God, you sow the word of God into people's life, you sow that you keep preaching the word to people. These are the two things we do. The scripture I read at the start says, we sow righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness, when you're righteous, it's to do with giving. God so loved the world, he gave his son in righteousness. It's also, when we speak about giving, we speak about two things. We give the word of God, we give love to people, and we give money. So you're sowing those things according to the Spirit as God leads you. You give your time to people, you pour out your heart to people, you take people into your home, that's pouring out. That is sowing righteousness. You give money so the gospel go forth all over the world. That is sowing righteousness. You preach the word to people that brings them out of darkness and brings them out of captivity into the kingdom of God. You are sowing righteousness. And I want to tell you, there comes a season where you will reap a harvest. You'll reap a harvest of souls, you'll reap a harvest financially. You cannot not reap a harvest. You'll reap a harvest of kindness coming back to you, because the principle is the word of God and it cannot fail. Now, and I believe I'm speaking to people today, God wants to encourage you. Some of you are in the place between sowing and reaping, and God raised me up today to say, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. God has not forgotten you. You haven't done anything wrong. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1 says this. I want to read it to you. It says, cast your bread among the waters, for you will find it in many days. In many days. So what that is saying to you is there is a Galatians 6:8 says this, something very, very similar. You don't reap at the time you sow. Bible says this, God is not mocked. But if you do not become weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. There is an appointed time for your seed. There is a set time for your favor. There is a set time where what God determines that what you have sown, you're about to reap. It will not fail. The seed will, if the seed is good, you will not fail. I remember when we first started this church, to digress, I came here and I met a pastor. I think I can name him. He's a good pastor called Joe Armstrong. Had a few funny ideas and he'll know it because I've told him that. But he had a good heart. And I said to him, I said, we're about to make a big move. I said, we're comfortable down there in Gosford. We're going to make a big move. And I'm not sure we can afford it, but I know the Holy Spirit's leading me there. And I said, I just feel God is saying, stretch out your tent. And over 2 hours, I sat with him in McDonald's up at a place north of Newcastle. I forget where it was. And I sat there, and he just interrupted me. He says, I got a word from God for you. He said, I told him how, you know, we'd taken people in, and many people in the church had taken people off the streets over the years, and we'd gone down to Sydney and done outreaches and always preached the gospel. Whatever the God gave us, we used it. We sowed it. We went out, and we didn't make the church about ourselves. We went down to Sydney and put on healing meetings for broken people. We gave all the money away to the broken people at Christmas, every penny we had, and whenever we could, we went overseas and just preached the gospel to get people saved in places of darkness. And I told him the history of the church, and he interrupted me. He said, I want to tell you, the Lord says to you this, you cannot fail because you've got too much seed in the ground. You can't fail because you've got too much seed in the ground. And he was right. He was right. He was right. If the seed is good, the seed can't fail. You can fail. You may not even, if you quit, you may not even be around to see the harvest because the seed won't fail. You can fail, but the seed won't fail. What you've sown, you're going to reap, or someone's going to reap it. I want to tell somebody here today, God is speaking to you and he's saying, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. God hasn't forgot you. But you know one of the things you've got to remember? When the seed is sown, the Bible says, unless the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it's a single seed. But after it is buried and everything's dark and everything's covered over, and everything looks hopeless, that's the turning point. That's the turning point. And your life, when you give it to God, I want to tell you, when you sell yourself to God and you just serve God, you make your life a seed. I want to say you fall to the ground. But God never buries you. He only ever plants you. When you feel like you're being buried, it all goes dark, just know God's planting you. God is planting you. And from your life, there will spring up a mighty harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold. And I want to tell you here, some people here today, God, I keep preaching in this church, God is changing the season. Some people here, God is changing the season, and you are coming out of the season of sowing, and you're now coming into the season of reaping, and you need to pray and get in these prayer meetings to seek God, because you're about to be tested like no other time, because the greatest test you're going to ever have is prosperity. Prosperity is the greatest test you'll ever have. Israel handled the wilderness, but prosperity destroyed them. And there are some people, God's changing that season, and you need to seek the face of God to handle the abundance, because when God changes the season, when God performs his word, it's not a little blessing, it's 30, 60, 100-fold. You're going to say, oh my goodness, everything's changed. Everything's drastically changed. I'm being resourced like I never knew I would be before. I'm receiving like I've never been before. All my life was about giving because God changes it, and it's real. It is real. Somebody, you need to hear that, because somebody here, your season's changing. There are people here that God is changing your season, and you need to realize when the season changes, you can't change it, but you need to recognize when God changes it. Because when you go from sowing to reaping, you need to change your tools. When you reap, you don't take out your planting bag. You need a sickle. You need to operate differently. You need to expect, some people here, you've sown the word of God, you've preached the word of God, you've declared the word of God. No response. I want to tell you, people are going to start responding to you now, and you've got to know how to bring them in. Bring them in. Because God's changed. God's even using the fires to do that. And there are other people here, you're in a hard time. God hasn't forgotten you. Somebody here, you haven't sinned, you know, you haven't done anything rotten. God hasn't forgotten. God's just in that time. You are between seed time and harvest, and God says to you today, do not grow weary. Do not, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Do not think you're in trouble. Do not think you're going under. Do not think God is not looking over everything. Do not think you're not going to reap. You are going to reap. But between sowing and harvest, God is doing something wonderful. He's changing you. There's a parable. I think this is a word for somebody here today. Often it's overlooked, but there's a parable in Matthew chapter 13, which is to do with a sower who goes out and sows seed. And this is the someone who goes out and preaches the word of God, and the sower is you and I. The seed is the word of God, and the field are the hearts of men. And God says that you go out, this sower went out and he sowed lots of seed, and it fell on different sort of ground. And some of it was, the seed wasn't received, but on where it fell on good seed, it received a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then there's the next parable. And the next parable is slightly different. It's about the tares and the wheat, but something very important in that parable. It's related to the first parable. It says this time, the sower is not you and I. The sower is God, and he's sowing seeds, which are sons of the kingdom, into the nations. Because when God sees you being faithful, sowing his word in the small, he lifts you up and sows you into the nations. But God wants to encourage you today. God wants you to encourage you today, and he wants to ask you, what are you sowing? What are you investing? You know, the parable is full of warnings not to bury your gift, not to be passive, but to be loud and vocal with the word of God, because you're sowing it. When you speak the word of God, you're sowing seed. And people who sow, they have something about them. People who sow, I tell you, have this. They have actually a spirit of generosity. Just a spirit of generosity. The scriptures say this, a gift comes from above. And when that gift comes down, the Bible says here, that gift is, verse 10, seed to the sower and bread for food. In other words, every blessing, some of it's for you and some of it's to be sown. It's seed. It's seed. So that your future is assured, that you will be harvesting and harvesting and reaping and reaping and living in no lack. But you cannot reap unless you sow. I in my spirit, I just know for some people here, you've been so faithful. for so many years, so faithful. And you think this has been a difficult time spiritually? I'm speaking in the Holy Spirit now. God is changing your season and you're about to reap, and this is where it's going to get real testing. When the harvest comes in, when God starts to bring in so many souls, when God starts to bring his increase, when God starts to multiply 30, 60, 100 fold, and most of us have never seen this, but when God starts to do it, oh my goodness, it's a test. It's a test. The eyes don't get on the blessings and get off God. And I'm speaking to somebody here, your season's about to change, but no, the blessings are actually a test. And other people here, God wants you to know, his word cannot fail. What you have sown, do not lose heart. Do not grow weary. God is watching you. God sees everything. At the perfect time, right time, at the perfect time where God's finished that work in your character, when you fall into the ground and died, when all your flesh is out and you can be trusted to truly sow everything to the Spirit, at that very time, God is going to bring his blessing, and it's 30, 60, 100 fold, and you're going to say, there is a God in heaven whose word is infallible and perfect, and he never lies. Never lies. So keep speaking the word to people. Keep living big and generously. Sometimes when you do that, nothing happens. That's the time where simply God is testing you. It's like Joseph in the prison. Nothing's happening. Sometimes it gets worse. But be encouraged, you will reap what you sowed. Put your hand on your heart. I want to pray for you.